Hello and welcome to Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Meir. And with us in the studio is Alessio Rastani, our independent market trader for Leading Trader. Alessio, it's good to have you with us today.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Reckitt in talks to acquire Mead Johnson for $16.7 billion. What do you make of that?
Well, from my perspective, Reckitt has to keep, and these sort of multinational consumer companies have to keep buying something every now and again just to stand still. This is a baby food maker, and it makes sense. It fits in with the portfolio.
Next slide. Deutsche Bank's full-year net loss narrows to $1.46 billion in 2016 versus $7.3 billion in 2015, CNBC.
I just wish they'd close it down, but like Royal Bank of Scotland as well, I don't see how they're ever going to make money. And really, I don't know where the money comes from for all these to pay all these losses. They get a fine every other year or every other month, maybe even as well. It's just the banking system, the banking model, traditional banking is bust.
Mm. Next slide. So Article 50 vote won 498 to 114 last night. Meanwhile, leaked documents from the EU's Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee state the exclusion of the main European financial centre from the international market could have consequences in terms of jobs and growth in the EU. And it's in the EU and UK's interest to have an open discussion. So finally, some sense coming out of things, I think.
Well, early because it was leaked. just the charade of having the vote, which was unnecessary, it was just totally unnecessary to have the vote. The judiciary should have kept out of it.
And no surprises with what happened with the vote yesterday.
No, not at all.
You know, this whole Brexit thing, it's becoming almost like one of those TV series that drags on. You know, this whole thing should have finished months ago. And it's just been dragging on like an episode from Lost.
Yeah, but that was Theresa May's fault. She should have invoked Article 50 in July.
Okay, so let's not debate that and move on to the economic calendar. So lots happening in the UK. We're looking to the Bank of England at midday today to see what they'll do there. Mm-hmm. We've also got President Draghi's speech and in Japan, the Bank of Japan monetary policy meeting minutes. But staying with the Bank of England, what do you think will come out of today?
I don't think there'll be any surprises. I think that, for one thing, the British pound has been pretty strong over the last few weeks. It's been rallying so far. Actually, we have a current long position on the pound, which has been doing quite well. I would be surprised if we had any major changes today, maybe down the line, but I doubt it. Yourself?
They'll pretend there's no inflation problem because they don't want to raise interest rates.
All right.
Okay, let's move on. So let's look at the FX sentiment. Zach, what do you see there?
On gold, I'm looking for the big breakout through 1220. We're currently around 1217.
Yeah.
In fact, we're at 1218, in fact. Yeah. And just ready, from my perspective, to have a pretty big push to the upside. So we'll see how that works
out. One thing I should mention here is the strongest currency of the last 30 days, strongest currency so far this year, has been Aussie dollar and also New Zealand dollar, not mentioned here. But the Aussie dollar, look at that, only 40% are bullish. That's a good thing. So the sentiment has not become extreme on the Aussie. I would actually consider positioning for a long on the Aussie after a pullback. Not now, but wait for a pullback to go long on the Aussie.
Mm. And looking at commodities, what do you think is behind the spike in silver?
I suppose that for me, gold and silver are going together, but it really is the weaker dollar has just tipped the precious metals back on the front foot.
Mm. Okay, let's look at the next slide.
Oh, this is one of mine. Yeah. All right. I thought this would be interesting for you guys and also for the viewers. So this is what I was talking about. The British pound has been rallying so far from that low we made in January. Look at that. It came down to the previous lows back last year. Just sort of teased everybody, as you can see back there, and then rallied higher. Now, those numbers are called Elliott waves. And the Elliott waves are showing to us there could be a bit more of this rally to that, as you can see, that red line I've drawn there to that target. So my target is 1.285 for the British pound. But I think what's going to happen afterwards is we're going to see this rollover come back down to support. So I've shown two paths, less likely and more likely. I don't think some people have speculated. I heard Nicole Elliott said last week that she thinks the pound has bottomed. I don't agree. I think that we're going to be stuck in this holding pattern, this sideways pattern between 1.285 and 1.2 for quite a while. So I would short the pound once we get to 1.285. Mm. And
next slide. So what do we see here?
This one here, and you probably... One of your guests on this show is Charlie Burton, who's actually a good friend of mine. And I was speaking to Charlie only a few days ago. He speaks on this show a few times. Yeah. Charlie said that he's quite bearish on the USD CAD dollar versus Canadian dollar. So he thinks that the CAD is getting ready for a major move to the downside, and this he thinks could be a potential winner for a short trade. What I would say is watch the CAD for a break and close below 1.3. If we see the CAD below 1.3, close below it, we could potentially get short for a move down there, as you can see. And next chart. This is about the stocks to do with you carry a cell phone. I presume, I don't know if you have any security in your phone, Jenny, but some stocks, the stocks I think that are going to do really well in the future are those which provide security for your phone. Yeah. Juniper Networks provides that kind of apps and security for your phone. So I would look at stock pullbacks or potentially getting long on Juniper Networks. As you can see, I'm looking for higher moves on this. And the next one,
next slide,
yeah. Eurodollar. And this one, I'm sure we're going to talk about Eurodollar later in the show. But what do you think about that, Zach? Do you think potential short setup on the euro, or do you see it as more of a...
Well, I suppose you're setting against that 108.73 peak.
Yeah.
But I think if it breaks that, then the whole theory is...
Probably you're right. Yes, I think you're right. Yeah, I would potentially look at this chart and get ready for a breakout either to the downside of this triangular formation or a move higher to 1.087. Either way, I am looking to get short. So either a break below, a close below the triangle formation or a move to the 1.087.
Let's move on. Okay, so the S&P 500, what are you seeing there?
Personally, I was speaking to Charlie a few days ago, and he actually echoes my own point of view. I think we're going to approach an intermediate top in the stock market. For one thing, the Dow has hit 20,000, and one thing that is interesting is every time the Dow hits a milestone, like 20,000 or whatever, big milestone, there's usually a period of correction lasting a few months before the next milestone. The S&P has hit 2,300. I think there could be one more push higher before we see a major correction, potentially 10 to 15%, maybe 20%, Charlie was saying a few days ago. I think that's more likely. Zach, what do you think?
I'll take the other way. I think if with this travel ban and the other unhinged behavior that he's doing, I think that there's no way that we can have a rally continue like that. He's just literally too much of a loose cannon, and I think that's going to put investors off.
Interesting.
I think we've seen this is probably the top for now. That's an island top there as well.
Yeah,
you see those three
like
candles there. Better bull trap. I think it's coming back.
Yeah, I would say just to your viewers, keep an eye on the level 2300. I beg your pardon, no. 2230 is a major support on that chart, 2230. If we see a close below 2230, that could be the first initial point that Zach was making.
I think gold's just broken 1220 now, so it's just literally gone through that level. Mm-hmm. So it's $3 in 10 minutes.
Right.
So that is, that for me is the first signal that the market's going to go down.
Interesting.
People going to gold, okay. Getting out of stocks.
Okay.
Okay, and the trade of the day, Zach.
Well, there we are. Sell the FTSE monthly chart generally closed below previous record highs suggests potential for further correction. So it's a bull trap through 71.50, let's say.
Yeah.
Sell below 70.94, objective 70.20, 69.80. Stops above 71.30. But if it is the top, then I think the 200-day average on the FTSE is 67.20.
It would make sense.
We could go back there. But it's just this thing about Trump being totally, you know, like a
loose cannon, you say.
Loose cannon. So I think that's going to start hurting people.
Okay, and our final slide. So broker recommendations and Punch Taverns. We've got Heineken sniffing around. A good buy?
Yeah, I mean, that looks to be a sensible situation. I think the loser here, the big loser, is Mitchells and Butlers. So the sector is a very patchy one. And then Enterprise Inns with the target raised from 115 to 140.
Fantastic. Well, Zach, Alessia, thank you. That was Alessia Rastani from Leading Trader.